Please stay tuned for our wonderful interview with Mr. Avery Grant.
We are excited to introduce an outstanding community crusader from Long Branch, New Jersey on our show today. Before we get started with the interview, I'd like to provide a proper introduction for Mr. Avery Grant. Mr. Grant has served as executive director of the Concerned Citizens Coalition of Long Branch, which is a grassroots community organization that serves as a watchdog for the remediation of a 17-acre contaminated coal gasification plant and other environmental justice issues. The CCC filed an environmental justice complaint with the DEP relating to contamination in Long Branch due to the plant. The petition was granted and the DEP undertook many studies that discovered widespread contamination. As a result of this petition, CCC was given the right to review all reports on the remediation and to participate in remedial planning, including receiving monthly updates from the DEP. EELC participates on behalf of the CCC in monthly conference call updates and follows up on any issues that need attention, such as natural resource damages and odors from the remedial site. Mr. Grant is a retired United States Army Lieutenant Colonel, and he also retired as a civilian electronics engineer from Fort Monmouth. For 4.5 years, he was the city engineer and public works director for East Orange, New Jersey. He is a Long Branch Board of Education member and was a New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance board member. If that's not enough, Mr. Grant was co-founder and editor of the community newspaper, which was a biweekly African-American newspaper in Monmouth County. The list goes on. In 1997, Mr. Avery Grant was selected as one of the New York City News 100 Most Influential in New Jersey. He has received his Bachelor of Electrical Engineering from the City College of New York and his Master of Transportation Planning and Engineering from Polytechnic Institute of New York. He has a diploma from United States Army Command and General Staff College. In the community, he has facilitated dialogue between the lower income residents and the governing boards. On numerous occasions, he has challenged them and confronted inequalities in the community. There is no measure for his level of advocacy for the people that need a voice. He's a true leader, and I'm thrilled to be able to discuss these housing issues with him. Mr. Grant, what does housing represent to you?
Well, it represents an area that provides security and comfort in general for your livelihood, you and your family. And in general, it develops and frames your current and future life. A good example is found in the book and TV show, A Ditch Digger's Daughter. It's about a family in Long Branch whose father was a laborer, and he produced 3 medical doctors from his daughters. So that gives you an idea of what I think about housing.
In the past, how did you come to learn about any community problem?
I'm a retired lieutenant colonel in the Signal Corps. Fort Monmouth was the home of the Signal Corps, as you mentioned. As a captain in Europe in 1967, my wife, my family, I received orders for Vietnam. So I built a home in Long Branch, not knowing what might happen to me in Vietnam. My wife then wrote me while I was in Vietnam and told me, Long Branch is a great community. A pastor had visited and invited them to the church. The Chamber of Commerce bought a city map and directory of stores and services. The League of Women Voters bought the voters registration. And a black community organization invited her to a community meeting and the local Democratic Club meeting. Long Branch was a very friendly family community, but she did say that you could leave your bicycle and toys in the front yard and nobody would steal them. So there was no real problem. But it was a community. When I returned from Vietnam, my neighbor took me to join the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and an acquaintance invited me to join the African American Society, which was an organization led by 9 black men with men and women members. We provided youth activities in a small community center, and we became involved in any community issues. There were 5 public housing developments for families and 2 senior citizen public high-rise buildings. there was a small two-story wooden building, the Bucky James Center, was for activities that we provided for young people in the city, in our black community, actually. So we provided the youth activities, and there was really not a real need for any more affordable housing in the city. In 2 years, I became the VFW post commander, and the government came out with a program to build high-rise senior buildings for veterans in there. I coordinated the team, and we got city approval. But when we went before the county board, since the building was next to a commuter railroad line, the county asked that we redesign it with soundproofing on that one side. And by the time the engineers, we had assembled a strong team of engineers who actually designed the Brookdale Community Campus, and they did their services free for us. They finished the redesign, but the federal government had stopped the program. But the Jewish War veterans did get to build a building, and they opened it to all veterans.
Over time, has your vision for the community in regards to housing changed?
Well, it has, because we've had an influx of Hispanic and Portuguese persons to the city, so things have really changed. Before that, it did not appear to have a real housing issue because we had so much public housing. And then we had our local homes. And we in the southern part of the town was the Jewish population, in the center, the Italian, then we had the black community, and then up the top we had the white community, basically. But we had all kinds of community activities, so it was really a community city. So that we did not see really a big issue with things of that nature.
Do you think there's a need for more affordable housing?
Well, there is a need for it. I became chairman of the Monmouth County Advisory Council to the County Office on Aging. And we began encouraging cities to build senior housing. 1 year I was the representative to the White House meeting on senior housing. The outcome was a development of a program called Congregate Senior Housing. And this was to build senior housing, high-rise housing with medical office, a social service office, a convenience store, a recreation, and meeting room. Asbury Park was the first to build such a building. So this was very interesting. And then we were able to initiate a senior citizen area transportation system called SCAT. See, it was originally only for senior citizens, but now it's been changed for seniors and special individuals. And I had served on the Red Cross Board and also the Metropolitan International Board. And I realized they provided money to buy used vehicles to the Red Cross, but we had trouble getting drivers as we needed them, volunteer drivers. So that's why we encouraged and started the SCAT program. We were able to work with that to help to relieve some housing issues around the county.
What was it like navigating the political landscape with trying to get housing and especially the senior housing developed with the medical facilities inside? Was there a problem or was there a challenge?
Well, in some areas there was, because at the same time they were passed the Affordable Housing Act at the state level, and some of the communities resisted that, and they came up with a where the contractors could donate monies to communities, and that would relieve the city of a responsibility for providing a share of affordable housing. So we were able to get some money into Long Branch just by petitioning, and they used that money to improve senior citizens and individual homes. At that time, we really didn't have a housing problem.
Mr. Grant, can you talk a little bit about the concerned citizens and how that came to be and any obstacles you faced with that?
In June 2002, a very serious accident occurred. There was a 17-acre site bordering two public housing projects and two churches. This site was a former manufactured gas plant site where gas for house cooking and heating was generated by processing coal, and the residue was under the ground. The plant went out of business, and the New Jersey Natural Gas Company bought the site to connect its gas pipelines from Texas and Pennsylvania. And they leased the site for a dollar to the city for park and recreation purposes. In June of 2002, the city in place was striping the ball field for a game and noticed some oozy oil stuff coming out of the ground. The city brought the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection in, and they asked the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to designate the area as a Superfund site. But the federal government said no and directed the DEP to handle the site locally. And when the gas company began, they directed the gas company to clean it up. When the gas company began to dig and remove the contaminated site, the fumes were so strong that many in the public housing got very sick. First aid services could not handle it all. So they called me as one of the members of the African American Society and others, and we took residents to the hospital. I took, in two trips, I took six people. We decided to form the Concerned Citizen Coalition of Long Branch to be the watchdogs for the remediation. And we got Congressman Pallone involved. We built a tremendous team with Green Faith, with the Rutgers Eastern Environmental Law Center, Edison Wetlands Association, New Jersey Work Environmental Council, the New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and Dr. Peter Montague. So we built a very strong team. In 2004, fortunately, Governor McGreevy signed Executive Order Number 96 establishing an environmental justice petition program. Dr. Montague helped us prepare an application, and the Concerned Citizen Coalition was accepted as the first state environmental justice petitioners. And this placed us at the table of decision-making with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. And its commissioner allocated $200,000 for his staff to support us. The Concerned Citizen Coalition was able to have the remediation of the site increased to a block-long portion of a creek outside of the site because some parents had indicated and their kids come home a little greasy from playing in the creek. And then reading through the documents, the Rutgers Environmental Law Center found out that the crawl space under the housing is highly contaminated. So the Concerned Citizen Coalition told the city and the housing authority that the housing had to be demolished and remediated and rebuilt. The housing authority, even not knowing about contamination, had applied for HOPE 6 funding to upgrade the housing, and it was disapproved. But when the contamination was found and we had the DEP supporting us, the housing authority then applied again, and it was approved. So the HUD approved the project, and two housing projects were demolished and rebuilt with modern kitchens and laundry facilities. But we hurt ourselves and the African American Society because we could not get the housing authority to guarantee that the former residents could return. We brought in the State Community Affairs Department, but they said that they were only required to give the original tenants the first interview, with the housing authority and the mayor trying to take away the power of the Concerned Citizens Coalition and the African American Society. They interviewed the original residents and said, oh, you didn't pay your rent on time, you kept a dirty apartment, and they would not let them come in, and they brought in people from around the state who were eligible. And that's how we lost much of our power, because that's where the center of our power was, within the housing like that. I must add that when they moved the residents out, Section 8 vouchers for housing, we stepped forward and said that there's not that much housing available. And the gas company, they are very community-minded, they gave $3 million to support the rent. And to this day, sometimes people will stop me and say, thank you, Mr. Kraft. I lived in this housing development. So we were able to then bring in the state health department, and they provided counseling before the tenants had to move because it was really a stressful situation. Also, a big thing was that we were making a presentation at Princeton University. It was an environmental conference, and they asked us to come down and speak. And we had one of our members who was responsible at Fort Monmouth for getting rid of waste. So she had asked at one of our Concerned Citizen meetings if she could do a survey of people who got hurt from this contamination. And she came up with 124 people who were gotten quite sick over it. So I mentioned that in our presentation at Princeton, And then out of the crowd afterwards came a lawyer and said, look, you've got a great case for health compensation. Can I speak to your group? So we invited him down. We had about 150 people. He said, oh, this is too big for me. And he then got a local attorney group to join him. And we got another meeting together, and there we had about 250 people. More than that came later. They did move the case out of Monmouth County, moved up into Essex County. And out of it was 292 people received compensation from $20,000 to $200,000. Of course, they didn't get that total amount because of legal fees and things.
It's remarkable because reading about it, we can see, like, wow, look at the impact. But when you're sharing it, it was a win here, a loss here, a win here. Nothing was ever guaranteed. You never knew what the next step was going to be because different opportunities kept popping up and also different levels of the problem kept popping up.
Well, different levels popped up, but the thing was, there was Governor McGreevy, and he visited our site and the commissioner of DEP. They found out how serious we were about the issue. They also saw that the governors had a summer education program for high school students and five universities, and one of them was Monmouth University, and theirs was on the environment because Monmouth University has a tremendous department on climate change and all the other stuff. And Green Faith was one of the participants, and they asked us to give a tour to the high school students. And they brought a bus over, we took them on a tour of the site, and then we talked to them about how to organize when they go back to their high schools. Then we went through a whole process. And Green Faith said that was very important, and they got good results from them. And then the governor, of course, his term was over, and the Environmental Justice Petition Act went out. But we did approach Governor Corzine, and he did sign it and put another executive order out, and he invited us down to the signing. So that kind of gives you an idea of how we got represented.
What advice would you give someone who has a vision to create some change in their own community?
Well, I would say to them that they need to try to find out what the impact is on the community and who is impacted by it, and then try to get an understanding of what the issue is. And once they find that out, then look around because there are many organizations who are chartered to help communities. To help them then come in like we did, we established a tremendous team. That's why we were so successful. Congressman Pallone worked very closely with us. In fact, he got the Environmental Protection Agency involved, even though they wouldn't grant this as a super fund. He got ATSDR to support us and CDC from Atlanta to give us what support we needed. And we got the State Department of Health and Senior Services and Monmouth Ocean Legal Aid Health Department. So we got all people. So I would recommend that they try to find out who can help them because this technology, they may have a community group, you don't have that capability. So once you get a team together, then things happen.
How did you get people in your own community to care about things going forward? How did you get them to rally and care?
Well, the people saw what happened. As I say, we had to take these people that got sick and all the other stuff. So they saw that something was happening. We published a monthly Concerned Citizens newsletter that we circulated around the town. And later, there was a committee formed with the gas company, housing authority, and representatives of the residents and Congressman Pallone. We organized, actually, a group that met monthly also that got the public actually involved. And we got a lot of publicity, as I said, and I didn't mention that our chairman, who was a part of our African-American society also, was invited to the International Environment and Climate Conference out in Portland, Oregon. And the way that happened was one of our associates was a member of that organization, and he asked that she be allowed to come out there. And they paid her way, and she spoke before this conference. They did dedicate a small part of this 18-acre land after they had cleaned it up, of course, as a nice park. They put in a basketball court and some other stuff. But when they were thinking about getting it done, We made false masks, like gas masks, and we paraded around the land. And that got a lot of publicity, so got people involved. But does that help you a little bit? We could talk all day.
Absolutely. Gives us a total vision. Well, thank you for joining us today, Mr. Grant, enlightening us and sharing with us all your ongoing involvement for a better community. We hope to speak to you again in the near future.
As I say, we could be here for hours to talk about the things we did get involved with, but thank you so much.
Thank you.